The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's a beautiful day.
Aging works in different ways for everyone. It all starts from the inside. Welcome to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. We'll show you how the latest breakthroughs in understanding how to balance and optimize your body, proper nutrition, and supplements work together to keep you looking young, losing weight, and feeling rejuvenated. Now, here's Dr. Tang and Alexandra.
Hello, hello. This is Dr. Tang. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. Thank you for joining us once again for our weekly show. Today, unfortunately, we're not going to have Alexandra here. She's sorry that she's not able to make it this week. So I'll be all by myself talking about this wonderful topic about eye rejuvenation. This is the topic that I get asked a lot. Part of our clinic here is cosmetics, and this is a continuance of our series about how to look better. And this subject comes quite often when people come and are asking to help them look a little bit younger, less aged, and less tired. And eye rejuvenation is one of the key points in terms of having this younger look. Now, it used to be that when people came in for any particular problems with the eyes, they oftentimes would need surgery. And surgery is still the gold standard for many different issues around the eye. But as technology has improved quite a bit, there are many different types of procedures that one can consider to give someone a much more refreshed look with really a fraction of the cost sometimes. And so let's talk about that. Now, before we talk about that, I just kind of wanted to share with you kind of the story. And this is actually how I got started. Alexander and I got started actually doing cosmetics. It was actually back in the 90s, actually, that I started to notice, like anyone else, I was in my late 20s. And I started to notice some kind of wrinkles around the eyes. And maybe some wrinkles around the forehead. And I was coming back to visit my family, and my sister actually is a dermatologist, and she actually, I would say, has taught Alexander and I many things about dermatology, cosmetic dermatology. And so we would come back, and I would ask her if I could get some Botox. And so I would do the Botox around my eyes and the forehead. And you know, this is great, you know, having someone in the family able to do that. Now, at the time, Alexander and I were doing other things. I was doing Botox for other purposes, not specifically for cosmetics. And so every time that we'd come back, we would have my sister do some Botox. Well, it came to a point where we needed the Botox sooner. So the idea was that, because we were coming down to visit my family, my sister, for every 6 months. You know, it kind of depends, but it was actually, it would last probably about 4 to 6 months, but sometimes we need it a little bit sooner. Sometimes we wouldn't come visit. So we asked my sister to show us. So she showed us all the different areas. And that was really our kind of our first taste of cosmetic medicine in terms of Botox. And it was a wonderful thing. You know, Botox, you know, was something that was discovered in 1989, and it was being used for cosmetics for the whole entire decade of the 1990s. So we would learn this, and so this topic kind of reminds me when we first started to get a taste of cosmetics, when we were doing just Botox on each other, and that this eventually bloomed into other things. Now, one of the other subjects that we're going to talk about is something called mesotherapy, and the reason why I bring this up is also mesotherapy was something that was first introduced by my wife, Alexandra. And so I actually didn't know anything about mesotherapy. She had brought it up, and she had suggested that I go to a class. I went to a class, and from that point on, her and I decided to open our practice. So I give all the credit to Alexandra and my sister, who basically kind of spearheaded this whole interest of mine. So that's kind of like a little story I wanted to share with all of you who are listening. So going back to the topic of eye rejuvenation, one of the more common problems that people are concerned about is the lines around the eyes, the corners of the eyes. This is what we call crow's feet. And crow's feet is basically the wrinkles that, as we tend to smile more, those lines seem to show up more. So in a very slight, mild case, the lines are only present when you smile. And when you get older, the lines are present even when you don't smile. So we're going to talk about how to treat this, and we'll just kind of bring up kind of different common questions that people come in. So in any case, this is something that could be easily treated with Botox. Now, Botox is a type of product that basically is an injection, and I think most people have at least an idea what Botox is. Botox is something that you can inject. It helps to soften the muscles around the eyes. So it basically takes away the lines and wrinkles when you smile. It doesn't take away the lines and wrinkles when there's no smile if you have them. But when you do smile, or if it worsens, then it definitely can get better. Now, oftentimes Botox is thought to be a poison, and that you're injecting a poison. And I don't necessarily feel this way. You know, when used appropriately, this is a medicine that actually disrupts the communication between the nerve and the muscle. So when used in a small amount, this is, to me, not a poison. It just blocks a certain type of reaction, which is contraction of the muscle. So when you do this, you can actually improve the lines to a point where you probably won't see this if it's a mild case. And generally for Botox, this would last about 3 to 4 months in general. Now, we've had patients that said that it lasted a year, which is very rare. Some people lasted 6 months. Some people lasted 2 months. But in general, 3 to 4 months. Now, Botox can also be thought in this area to be also a preventive measure, meaning that let's just say you did one Botox, you enjoyed it, but decided not to continue with it. If you stopped it, eventually the lines will reoccur. And if you continue not to use it, eventually your continued smile, will actually cause more of a contraction, and this will cause more of an indentation inside the area of the eyes. And over time, the lines do get worsened. So Botox can be done in a way that prevents, I would say, prevents the formation of deeper lines over time. So if you continue to do this, I do believe that there's some effects positively in terms of lessening the actual deepening of the lines. But this is something that would be have to maintain. One of the myths about Botox is that, especially in the eyes, and you see this on popular TV a lot, and that is if you inject a certain amount, which is usually too much, that someone will come in as if they look like they had plastic surgery or as if they were in the wind tunnel. And this is oftentimes another point of discussion where patients say, I don't want to look like all stretched out. And in reality, Botox is a very good medication, particularly on the eyes. And it's really a matter of trying to figure out what is the amount that you need. So when you inject it the right amount, you will have improvement of the lines and wrinkles, but you won't look stretched. And if someone is seen as being kind of stretched, it's really they probably did too much Botox. The other thing it could be also is they could have had surgery, and so that could have stretched them out as well. But if you have too much Botox, then it looks kind of funny. It looks a little bit unnatural. But with anything in terms of Botox, it is something that it does go away. Unfortunately, if you did have that result, you just have to wait probably about a month before it starts to loosen up. But eventually it will go away. So the good thing is that it will go away. The bad thing is that it goes away. And so if it goes away, obviously you would have to do this. So when you are deciding whether this is a good option for you, you have to figure out, okay, can I manage doing this, let's say, three times a year. And, you know, depending on your geographic location, cost might be a little bit different here and there, but, you know, you have to think, can I keep this up? So this is one thing that I would have you consider. Now, one more thing, and that is that, you know, since the advent of Botox, which is back in 1990, there has been actually other types of what we call, the official name is neuromodulators. They just call it neuromodulators, but basically there are other neurotypes of Botox. One is called Dysport, which was launched in 2000 and has been FDA approved for the use of cosmetics for, I would probably say, at least 5-6 years or so at this point. So it is another potential service or treatment that you can do for the same area. And so I tend to feel like Dysport works as well in the same areas. I tend to feel like Dysport can work a little bit stronger. So if you have lines that require more, let's say, Botox, I usually jump more towards Dysport at this point. If I want a softer approach, which sometimes I do, because let's say if you're young and you just need a little bit, I wouldn't want to go to Dysport. I think that might be a little bit too strong. And so I'm finding that I use Botox more in that situation. There's something called Xeomin, another product. So these are the kind of the newer generation Botoxes that just came out maybe about 2 years ago. I don't find that to be as good. I find that it doesn't last any longer. In the case of Dysport, it may last longer than Botox, but Xeomin to me doesn't seem to last very well, and I think it's a little more uncomfortable actually with injection. So I've never been a great fan of Xeomin. So that's crow's feet. The other subject I want to talk about is the droopy eyelids. And I think this is oftentimes a big complaint amongst many women and some men. So the droopy eyelids is basically caused by the skin laxity. And the skin laxity just means that the skin has become looser over time. And there seems to be a droop or drag or sag over the upper eyelid. Now, you know, this is something that can be treated depending on the severity with non-surgical methods. If you have, let's say, just a concern, a mild case, this can definitely be treated with lasers. There are actually two different types of lasers that I would recommend someone to consider. If it's just a mild case and they really don't want any downtime, then I would have them consider something called the Luma. The Luma is actually a machine that is non-surgical. It uses a technology called bipolar frequency. And this is something that was came out probably at least probably 6-7 years ago. So it's a very gentle way of actually addressing this area. There's really no downtime for this. You can get a mild improvement. And when I say mild improvement, we're talking, let's say, 20%. Improvement, maybe 40% depending on the severity. It is very gentle. You would have to do this multiple times. We usually here recommend that you do a total of 5 treatments 1 week apart. It's something that can also kind of soften the lines around the eyes, which are the crow's feet or what we call rightids. Now, if you want a stronger treatment, what I would have you consider is something called it's the DECA, which is a CO2 laser. This is a type of laser that's is an actual laser. It's actually much stronger. It's actually something called a ablative treatment. Some people call it the Madonna eye lift. And this is something where someone who needs more skin contraction, who needs more help in this area. So this is where you can do, usually we recommend about 3 treatments, but the results are much more impressive compared to the Luma. Now, as I say this, you have to also recommend, you also have to think that when you compare it to actually surgery, it's never going to compare to surgery. But this is definitely someone who wants a more serious treatment, who is kind of in between. They're quite not ready for surgery yet, but they want something in the meantime. So this will be kind of the bridging type of procedure. So this is something that we can go over the upper eyelids, and for someone who actually wants a treatment over the eyelids, what we have to do is we have to put an ocular eye shield, which is basically a protective goggles that we place underneath the eyes. It's a very simple procedure that I just put in a drop just to kind of numb the eye. It's almost like a contact, but it's underneath the eyelid. And so by putting this particular titanium eye shield, we can go over the eyelids with certainty without injuring the eyesight or anything like that. And with this treatment, there's actually swelling and redness involved, and we do get about probably, I would say, an average of 3 days of downtime. For more aggressive treatment, sometimes it could be 4 or 5 days. But this is for someone who wants a more serious treatment. And this is something that I usually recommend 2 to 3 treatments 1 month apart. We're actually coming to a break right now. So when we come back, we'll be talking about more about eye rejuvenation techniques. So please stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you figured out what's not working in your sex life? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran has had both highs and lows in her sex life. She uses her experiences to teach you some basic techniques on how to create more fun, intimacy, and pleasure. Her guests also come from the sexual health and wellness industry. And together, Tamaran and her guests will help you get the sex life you've always longed for. Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness. It's a beautiful
day. You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N Tang at rejuvemedical.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Thank you for staying tuned. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang. Today we're talking about eye rejuvenation, the latest techniques in non-surgical rejuvenation for the eyes. If you have any comments or questions, you can send us an email at J-O-H-N-T-A-N-G, John Tang, at rejuve, R-E-J-U-V-E, medical.com. Or you can call us at 866-472-5792. We're talking in the last segment about the upper eyelids and how a lot of concerns about patients complaining about saggy or droopy eyelids. The one thing I was mentioning about this particular laser, this is a CO2 laser. So a particular laser we're using, at least in our office, is called the SmartSide, and that's SmartXide. Also, the procedure is commonly referred to as the Madonna eye lift. Now, the reason why this type of procedure is a little more aggressive is because it uses a CO2 laser. And the CO2 laser basically is strong enough to actually create kind of like little small micro little holes. These holes are not something that you can see, but ablation basically means that it's strong enough to actually pierce through the skin and actually kind of melt some small tissues of skin. And when you do this, the surrounding skin that's not treated is allowed to actually heal over this. So in a sense, when you're doing this procedure, that skin that's being treated melts away, and so there's actually a contraction of the skin over the area that that was treated. And so you get pretty much an immediate tightening of the skin. So you're effectively decreasing the surface area of the skin. In addition to this, you're actually, as you go down past the surface of the skin, that laser energy goes below and it starts to stimulate collagen. And the idea of this collagen is that there's going to be a stimulation of new collagen, more robust collagen, more youthful collagen, and just more of it. And so this is going to obviously help the actual health of the skin. So that eventually helps the elasticity. So it kind of, in a way, helps to pull out or pull up some of that skin. It causes a contraction of the skin. Now, for all of you listening, if you want a copy, we do have a newsletter in regards to the eye rejuvenation. So with that email, you can send me your email. We can send you a lot of the material that we're talking about today. So it's johntang at rejuve, rejuvemedical.com. Or you can go to our website at www.rejuvemedical.com and go under face and look under, I believe it's face under services, under eye rejuvenation or non-surgical eye rejuvenation. The one thing I also wanted to mention about the droopy eyelids is that, as we have kind of done in the past, you know, there's always, to me, in my mind, a link between, you know, what is the actual cause of this? And so this is one of the key points that I wanted to kind of bring up. And the idea basically is that, you know, it's an age problem. We know this. We know that people who are older get this. We know that sun exposure damages the skin and it causes a decrease in elasticity. That's something we kind of understand. What a lot of people don't know, and a lot of doctors don't know, is that one of the other internal problems is actually, and this causes drooping eyelids, as well as drooping skin, whether in the face or the arms or the breasts or the legs, and that is actually growth hormone. So when we start to really see this, oftentimes it's going to be in the 50s probably, it's an average time frame. And this is going to really reflect the growth hormone deficiency. So another way to consider this is obviously you would consider a cosmetic treatment for this, but you would also consider checking your growth hormone because growth hormone has everything to do with the actual tightness of the skin. So the sagging skin is growth hormone deficiency, period. Now, there are other factors involved in terms of skin wrinkles, for instance, in terms of the crow's feet. Other hormones are involved. For instance, in the first example, estrogen, testosterone for women, testosterone for men, that's going to also reflect poor laxity of the skin. And so if we go with the route of let's try to help you internally and externally, we're going to look at these hormones. And if you are deficient and if you believe in this philosophy of trying to adjust and trying to optimize the internal, there is going to be improvement in the external part. And I believe that this is really helpful in terms of at least decreasing the curve in which there's a decline. And so that's something that oftentimes is not looked at. So that's something that we often will do, and someone who is open to that, we will do those blood tests. Now, the third thing that I think people come in and complain about quite a bit, actually, is their, this is what I call the eye fat pads. Now, this is oftentimes, you know, what people or patients consider eye puffiness, is the eye cushions, you know, this, it just looks puffy. And what people don't realize is that right underneath the eyes, there is a fat accumulation. So this actually happens, obviously, with an age response as well. And it is believed that the underneath the skin, there's a very thin layer of muscle. And as we get older, this muscle starts to weaken. And so what happens is that this allows fat tissue to actually seep through. So in medical terms, we call this herniation of the fat. But in practical terms, it's just really seepage or leakage of fat into this collecting area, which is basically seen on the outside as basically the puffiness around the eyes. Now, this is something that typically can happen to anybody, though there is some genetic predisposition. So obviously, in certain families, you would get this more often than others. Some people don't even have this at all. But if you are unlucky enough to have this, the typical treatment for this would have been liposuction. So obviously this is a surgery. They would have to make an incision and they would actually suck out the fat. Now, if there was also a skin laxity, there is actually redundant skin, we call it, then one of the options would be that they would cut the skin and kind of sew it back closer to the eye to try to hide the incision. So if done correctly, this could be a very worthwhile procedure from the traditional terms, and this can give you a great result. Now, I want people to understand that this eye fat pad really is a sign of age, and this really reflects oftentimes how one is perceived in terms of whether you look tired or you look young. Now, there is another procedure that can be done, and this is not a well-known procedure, but this is something we've been doing for a long time, and that's something called mesotherapy. So mesotherapy is we talked about this in a previous show, but mesotherapy is a technique where you can actually inject a solution. This is a medicine, basically. It's a combination of three things. But what it does is it basically melts the fat. So there's a fat cell inside, for instance, and this solution actually starts to destroy and break up the fat cell membrane. And it also breaks up some of the connective tissue that holds the fat cells together. So this solution actually, in a sense, is destroying some of the fat cells. So what happens is the fat cells are going to burst and explode, in a sense, and this causes an instant inflammation response, inflammatory response. And through this inflammation, this is actually going to recruit cells. And these cells are triggered to come, and these cells start to recognize that these cells are broken. And they actually start, these other cells start to clean up and remove some of the damaged cells. And this is how we're going to actually reduce the fat. Now, this inflammatory response is very similar to a response that one might get, let's say, in an ankle injury. So in an ankle injury, for instance, when someone sprains their ankle, you immediately get an inflammatory response. The ankle is swollen. And so this is actually a defense mechanism, a way the body signals to the rest of the body to signal cells to come in to aid into its recovery. And so the idea is that the cells will be recruited. This is going to help with the repair process. The ankle is swollen initially, but after the swelling goes away, then the ankle is healed. So this is the same kind of inflammatory response that goes on in the eye. So this is a way to remove the fat. So this is actually can be a very impressive mechanism. So for people who aren't ready for surgery, there are many patients who come in, at least to our office, and saying, I'm not ready for surgery. I don't want to do surgery. I'm just so scared of it. I do want something. This provides another tool, another option. Now, patients who are good candidates are people who have mild to moderate amounts of fat. Now, if you have a lot of fat, then your results are not going to be as good. Or if you're okay with that, then that's okay too. But the other thing is, you know, it's also going to require possibly, let's say, two treatments. The other idea is that if there's a lot of redundant skin, so obviously this procedure is not going to address this. And so somebody who has a lot of loose skin, who wants both fat and skin, they may be better off doing the eye surgery. But if they have mild looseness, then we can obviously do a laser treatment. So this really actually provides someone. Now, this is usually a fraction of the cost for eye surgery. This is not FDA approved, though. This is mesotherapy in general is not FDA approved for any indication. But we've been doing this in our office, I would say it's probably been about 7 years now. So I've done hundreds and hundreds of patients doing mesotherapy in all areas, and eyes is one of them. So I've had really good results with this. The one thing about this procedure is that there is swelling. So there is definitely something, a procedure that one has to plan. And so this is not something that you can go in and out. This is definitely where your eyes are swollen. And it almost looks like a bee sting, almost. And the swelling is very apparent. It's not something you can hide. And this will be significant for about a week or so. So when we come back, we'll finish up with mesotherapy, but I wanted to talk about the dark circles and eye hollowness. So please stay tuned. To let it get away.
your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections featuring Dr. Adam Rubenstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual, interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubenstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang@rejuvemedical.com. That's johntang@rejuvemedical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for staying tuned. You're listening to the Healthy and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang. Today we're talking about eye rejuvenation using non-surgical methods. We were actually talking about the eye fat pads. These are the cushions underneath the eyes that oftentimes people get. This is something that can be treated through a non-surgical technique called mesotherapy. Mesotherapy can be a very effective way, and for mild cases, I've seen 90 to 100% removal of this. Moderate cases, probably about 50 to 80% removal of the fat. This is something that does require downtime, like I mentioned before, and requires at least a week of downtime. It's not something that you will see results right away. It does take eventually 2 to 3 months for you to see the results. The swelling that you have is apparent and underneath the skin for about 2 weeks. So this is definitely a procedure that requires some patience. For some people who have moderate amounts, a second procedure might have to be done. And the amount of downtime is it's definitely considerable. So this is for someone who is very willing to go through some downtime to get the results. But I think this is definitely another procedure. And, you know, today we had a patient who had this, and she was always told that there was always no other option except for surgery. And it's basically, it's true and not true. And so only the people who know how to do mesotherapy would be able to give you that option. Now, I wanted to talk next actually about the eye hollowness. And so this is oftentimes confused with the dark circles. So I wanted to first talk about dark circles. No, this is a very, very commonly asked issue. So when people come in, they say that their eyes feel sunken, it looks dark. Oftentimes patients, women particularly, would have to do some type of eye concealer to kind of hide the darkness there. Now, when I look at this problem, actually, most of the patients truly don't have dark circles. Now, by definition, dark circles is really a leakage of blood or products coming from the vasculature, and it kind of leaks out, and this causes a tint, a certain discoloration underneath the eyes. And sometimes actually you can see blood vessels. If you actually look very closely, you can see dark blood vessels, or you can actually have leakage of that. Now, from what I can see from the patients that I've seen, only probably maybe 10-15% really truly have dark circles. And so it used to be where they come in, if they do have this, we can only really recommend an eye cream. And the eye cream that I would have recommended would be a cream that had some vitamin K. Vitamin K is basically a particular vitamin that helps with the clotting cascade. So it basically makes the blood vessel a little bit stronger so it doesn't leak out as much. So you probably would get 10 to 30% improvement using the vitamin K cream. It's a cream that you apply and you do it every day. And so there's some improvement. Now, lately, we've actually bought another type of equipment, and this is the Venus Freeze. And, you know, the Venus Freeze actually, in my mind, is probably the only thing device-wise that could possibly even treat us. Now, the idea is that with the Venus Freeze, this is a non-surgical device that uses two technologies. One is radio frequency, which is mainly used to tighten skin. But the other technology is magnetic pulses. And the idea of magnetic pulses is that when you generate a magnetic current, it also generates an electrical current. This is just the properties of magnetic waves. And this electrical current can help with the circulation. And it can help bring in new blood supply and kind of bring out some of the leakage of the fluid. So we've actually been lucky enough to try this, and I've seen actually a very good result. I mean, I was surprised, but not surprised, because I didn't know what to expect. This is something that the company, that the company was suggesting that it could do, but this was considered off-label, not FDA approved for dark circles. So this is something that they had just made some mention. So one of the things, one of the reasons why I bought this was I was very curious about this. So we were able to try this on one of our patients, and I definitely can see improvement. And this is actually only after two treatments that we did, and we can definitely see improvement already with this. So this is basically helping the leakage of the fluid, and I'm really seeing some brightening of her eyes. And so Venus Freeze will be that procedure. Now, when people come in, they actually think they have dark circles, but in reality, they don't. So most people actually have something that is due to eye hollowness. So what has happened is that over time, they have lost actually some fat volume. So it's interesting that some patients will actually gain some fat in the eye fat pads right below the eyes. And below this, this is actually where you actually lose fat. And when you lose fat, your eyes become hollow. And this hollowness causes a shadow effect, which makes the eyes appear darker. So I would say the majority of people who come in actually have this particular problem, is that they're actually losing some volume. So when we address this, this is something that actually can be related or treated with a filler. A filler is basically an injectable that we can actually inject a certain amount of volume. And this is, I prefer something called Restylane. Restylane is basically an HA filler. It's made up of hyaluronic acid. And the idea is that you can inject this material underneath the muscle. And what it does is that it actually starts to attract water from the surrounding tissue, and it starts to expand. And as it expands, you're given the volume. So what this does is that it restores the volume. And when you restore the volume, this actually takes away the shadow effect. And so the eyes all of a sudden magically kind of brighten up. Now, this is something that you can actually see right away when you do a filler. And we can actually judge this even before the filler as we kind of stretch out the skin. And this will give us a good indication that a filler would be very helpful. So in the example of someone who has eye hollowness, when we correct the volume, you can probably see 70 to 100% improvement with this. So this is makes for a dramatic result, which you can see right away. Wrestling underneath the eyes is something that can last. It's anywhere, I would say, anywhere from 7 to 12 months. So it definitely lasts longer than Botox, but this is still something that you would have to repeat. And you would just repeat this, you know, in 7 to 12 months. This is a very safe procedure. When you first hear, oh my gosh, you're touching underneath my eyes, it's not that at all, actually, when you actually work within the boundaries. There's a safe zone that you can inject. So if you feel, you palpate the area underneath what you feel is, you'll feel the skin, you feel maybe some tissue underneath, you feel bone. And as long as you stay within those boundaries of the bone, it's very safe. Now, obviously, this is not a procedure that you would go to anyone to do. And what I find is that there's actually a good number of clinics who do cosmetic injectables who either don't do it or are not very experienced with this. For all of you who are listening, you do, if you decide that you want to do this, you do definitely want to go to someone who's very experienced. This is the one area that there can be a screw-up. And the screw-up would be where someone injects it, it's actually too much that it injects, or it looks overfilled and looks kind of uneven and raised, and so this is not a pretty sight. In fact, it often looks worse. The other thing also is that if they inject not in the right plane, but let's say between the skin and the muscle, which is not the right plane, then this can also look very lumpy as well. So this is something that requires someone who has been doing this for a long time to really know and to be experienced on how to do these injections. Now, when you do these injections and when you do it correctly, it is a wonderful result. This is something that people are so pleased, and oftentimes it gets overlooked, meaning that no one ever talks about this area, that this can be done, and that this is how it was going to look. So most patients who come to our office, well, we either have like a few types of patients, someone who is very experienced with all the different types of fillers, who's very knowledgeable, someone who has no idea, or someone who, let's say, has done it once or twice with another clinic, but they're mainly directed towards a certain type of procedure, but never kind of addressing this as well. So this can give, I would say, significant improvement in the area. Now, this is something that can be done, and if you do this well, there's no downtime at all. Now, obviously, this is an area that requires injections, so anybody can hit, let's say, a little a capillary or a blood vessel. So it is possible that you can bruise. I would say in the whole entire face, when you're doing injectables, the eye area is probably the area that probably would bruise the most. Now, statistically, from my unscientific kind of research, I feel like probably 1 in 6 to 1 in 8 patients will bruise. Now, obviously, a bruise is not a big deal in the sense that it will go away. However, if you are bruised, you still have to deal with, you know, why did you get bruised? What are you doing? And you have to go through this whole explanation. Oh, I got hit by a softball. I actually hit the door. You know, all these other excuses. So you do have to come up with an explanation. Some people don't care. They just say whatever, but other people do care. So you do want to definitely plan this. Well, you probably are not having any special event, let's say, this weekend. So I usually tell people that if they're planning anything that's important, to not schedule this, let's say, Wednesday for Saturday. I would have them at least schedule this for a week and a half or 2 weeks. That gives you a little bit more time. Now, there are certain things that you can do to decrease the bruising. So this is also important. So a lot of patients don't know this, but if you decide to do any type of injectable, one of the things that you can do to help you avoid bruising would be you would avoid any anti-inflammatory medication. So if you take aspirin, Aleve, or Motrin, these are medications that thins the blood and increases the risk of bleeding. So you would hold this off for about a week or so. In addition, you would actually hold off anything that would thin the blood in terms of supplements. There are a few supplements that are very popular. One is any type of fish oil, flaxseed oil. This is thinning the blood, which is not a bad thing, but however, for procedure's sake, you do want to avoid this for at least 5 to 7 days. Anything that has vitamin E, ginkgo, ginger, golden seal, garlic, There's one more that's G, but these all would increase the bleeding possibilities. So I would have people actually hold off these things if you remember. And there are actually some creams that you can apply. So when we come back, we'll talk about that cream and where you can get that. And we'll talk about skin texture as well. So please stay tuned.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N Tang at rejuvemedical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for staying tuned. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang. We're talking about eye rejuvenation. In the last segment, we were talking actually about fillers, particularly Restylane, to be injected underneath the eyes. And what I was mentioning was that there is a possibility of bruising that is not a huge amount, but still there is a, still a possibility. And statistically, I would say, from, at least for my patients, it's 1 in 6 to 1 in 8 patients. So of the 5 patients who don't bruise, great, perfect. But for that one person who bruises, it really doesn't matter what the other 5 do or what happened to them. So one of the things that you can do to decrease the possibility of bruising, or at least decrease the severity of the bruising, and one is actually something called arnica. And arnica is actually something that is a homeopathic medicine. No one ever talks about how exactly it works. It probably affects the clotting cascade. This is something you can get over the counter. And depending on where you get this, you would take this actually prior to the procedure. I would probably have patients take this twice a day, at least the day before the procedure and that morning of the procedure, and you would continue this. Now, arnica comes in pill or cream form, so if you have access to any of those, you can do both if you're really concerned about that. The other thing also is that there's another cream that I like actually more than arnica cream, and that is something called Oriderm. Oriderm is spelled A-U-R-D-E-R-M, Oriderm. It is actually a vitamin K based product. This is a topical product that you would apply. Really, vitamin K is very important for the clotting cascade, so it really helps to strengthen the area in a sense so that there's less leakage if there is an injury to the blood vessels. This is something you can also, once again, apply twice a day before the procedure, the day before, and then afterwards as well. And this is something that does require a doctor. Now, if you are going to the procedure, you might ask the doctor whether they have Oriderm cream. If they do, you just get that and start to apply it beforehand. The other thing that would help would be the icing part. So you can ice this after the procedure, and this will help. Obviously, if you have a bruise, then this will, I would want you to ice it right away. If you don't bruise, then I think it's more of an optional. The one comment about the bruising is, you might be listening and say, what do you mean by bruise? What does that look like? And so I wanted to at least mention that. So to me, there's three types of bruises when we do procedures near the eyes, and that could be Botox or a filler. I call it the three-day bruise. That's one type. The three-day bruise is like a little dot, and yeah, it's very easy to cover makeup, and it takes about 3 days for this to kind of go away. There's a seven-day bruise, which basically is a larger dot and requires a lot of makeup to cover it, and it takes about a week to go away. And then there's a 14-day bruise, which is basically means that you can't cover it up. It's very large. It's very noticeable, and it takes a long time for it to go away. People who actually bruise in this procedure, most of the time are going to be a 3-day bruise or a 7-day bruise. It's very rare that you would actually bruise for a 14-day, but just to be aware that that's possible, but it's very uncommon, very rare for that to happen. Now, if in our clinic, for instance, if our patient had a very bad bruise, we would offer them what we call an IPL treatment, which is a laser treatment that helps in a way break down the leakage of the blood, break it down, so it's much easier for the body to remove this. And I've seen, for instance, a 14-day bruise come to a 7-day bruise. So because of the hors d'oeuvre and these other homeopathic remedies, you might see, let's say, a 7-day bruise turn to a 6 or 5-day bruise. So there's some value to this, but obviously if you have a bruise, you're definitely going to have a bruise. I also will actually suggest that people can consider the venous freeze, because with this magnetic pulse type of energy, we can actually improve the circulation. So I think this will actually help the healing as well for this as well. One other couple of mentions, this whole idea with dark circles. The dark circle is actually one of the things internally that could be happening is this idea of low cortisol. And so people who are stressed beyond normal and are continuing having this stress can oftentimes look very tired. And this tire can actually result in the true dark circles. So this is also something that I would also evaluate to see whether this is something that we can help, because when someone has low cortisol, we can actually improve their diet, improve their lifestyle, and also give them supplements. And so this will help provide energy, because when you have low cortisol, you have low energy, and stress really affects you. It's really hard to function. And so having this kind of natural support will not only help you in terms of what you look like in terms of your eyes, but also help you feel better. So that's one thing. The other thing, another kind of quick comment, is the idea that when I wake up, my eyes feel or look like they're swollen. And so when you experience this, if you experience this, and if you say, okay, well, it improves, let's say, throughout the day, but in the morning particularly, they're kind of swollen, this to me also signifies a thyroid problem. So I would be looking at a thyroid test, and actually multiple tests. So if you all are complaining about this, this is something that can be also helped. And this is more of a medical, wellness type of aspect, not necessarily a cosmetic improvement here. The one thing I wanted to say before we leave is there are some eye creams that you can apply. Don't forget that there are eye creams that can be applied that are helpful. It is something that can help a little bit for eye rejuvenation. I think it's best used when you're actually doing something, combining it with, let's say, a filler or with Botox. You'll see a better result because there's some synergism with that. One of the ingredients would be a retinol or retin A type of product. I think that's very helpful. We also have, for instance, growth factors and polypeptides, which also help to improve antioxidants, which I'm not going to get into in terms of all these details because we don't have time, but there's definitely some eye creams. So if you are interested, you can send us an email. I can give you more of the ingredients or the name of the product we use. It's called Tensage Radiance Eye Cream or the Retinol Eye Cream. So I wanted to at least mention that as well. One more comment also for just overall skin texture. Don't forget that lasers are can be used and are important and can help tighten the skin. So we oftentimes will use, let's say, a fractional treatment, which is a laser. So that's something that can be used to rejuvenate the skin, the texture, and tighten the skin. And that can be combined. And all these things can be combined depending on the problem. So I know that was actually a lot of information, but I hope you enjoyed it. Next week, Alexandra, we'll be back. Next week, we're actually talking about stem cells. This is a very hot, exciting topic. Wanted to kind of share with you the latest about stem cells. It could be used cosmetically as well as for medical reasons to some degree. So I wanted to talk about that next week. So once again, thank you so much for listening. You're listening to the Healthy and Beauty for Life show. Go out and live your life and don't let life leave you. See you next week.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Health and Beauty for Life is heard live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Live younger this week. It's a beautiful-